Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
What does it mean to have faith? How important is that? Without faith, it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. So I would say that means faith is important. Unless we believe, Jesus said, we die in our sins, John 8:24. So faith is the foundation of our salvation. We repent and believe the gospel. And above all, Paul said, we must lift that shield of faith. So it seems that faith is paramount in our walk with God. So what is it? What is faith? And how does it relate to having hope for these troubled times? People down through the years have tried to define faith. Ruben Alves said, hope is hearing the melody of the future, but faith is dancing to it. Yes, the connection between hope and faith is inseparable. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, faith is a refusal to panic. I like that. The connection between faith and fear is also strong. Corrie ten Boom said, faith is something that has to be applied, and I agree with that. The connection between faith and works, as James noted, cannot be denied. It's a curious thing about faith. Faith is more often described than defined, and it's often juxtaposed against something else where we can see the contrast clearly. A faith is not this kind of approach. E. Stanley Jones said, faith is not merely you holding on to God. It's God holding on to you. Faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. D. Elton Trueblood said that. Kenneth Hagin said this, faith is not a ticket to utopia. And when we get in this realm of what faith is not, then we actually draw close to what faith really is. As that classic definition of faith is found in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The writer of Hebrews says, faith is not seen. Faith hopes for things that are not yet seen. Or here's the verse that draws my attention today, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's in the negative here that explains it all. Faith in the not. I won't pretend this will be artful today because I'm reaching into an old rusty toolbox and finding the greasiest old wrench that I can find because I'm here to tune up your faith and to work on your faith. God sent me here today to do this. If our quest is to please God in our lives, and since He finds faith most pleasing, then growing our faith pleases God. Regarding His return to the earth, Jesus asked the question in Luke 18:8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes into your life, to your house, will He find faith? When He looks in your email, your texting, social media, will He find faith? When He looks into your checking account, will He find faith? God is seeking faith. God is constantly on a faith safari. 2 Chronicles 16 says that the eyes of God are roaming to and fro on the earth, searching the earth, ready to show Himself strong for those whose hearts are fully devoted for Him. Look at some of the people in Hebrews 11, those who walked not by sight. Noah built an ark long before that storm came, and God was pleased. Abraham left his homeland in search of a city, and God was pleased. Isaac sowed in the midst of famine. When he didn't see fortuitous circumstances, he still sowed. God was pleased. Jacob wrestled with God for a complete change of character, and God was pleased. Rahab fought to protect a promise. God was pleased. God seeks people like that. He seeks people who believe in Him. It's one of the greatest struggles we have, I think. We think God loves our accomplishments, our perfect scores, the gold stars in every box on the chart, that He's drawn to our better-than-average walk with Him. But what pleases God more than anything is faith. our belief in Him, trust in Him. He's not impressed with our opinions. He's not overwhelmed by our genius. He's not amazed by how we have everything all figured out. The one thing that amazed Jesus in His walk through this world, He was amazed by people's lack of faith, Mark 6:6. He was amazed by the centurion's grasp on faith, Matthew 8:10. Jesus stands amazed by faith. He stands amazed by those who have no faith and those who have it. So let me get plain here. We get married to our opinions. We grow enamored with our own perspective when we really need to be blinded to this world and get lost in God's world and understand that God is looking for faith. We're like those blind skiers that are paired with sighted skiers. We come down the mountainside of life with someone shouting left, right, left, right. We can't see the way we should go. We just trust in His word. We trust in His character. We trust in the one who said, "I'll never leave you." The world says seeing is believing, but the word says not seeing is believing. It's actually staggering how often faith is revealed in what we are not doing, not seeing, not hearing. Jesus told Thomas, "You've seen me and believe, but blessed are those who've not seen me and yet believe." Simon Peter said, "You've not seen him, yet you love him. You've not grasped him, yet you believe in him." It's as if God wants us to know something. Faith is essential in our walk with God, but quite often it is seen in what we do not see, what we do not embrace. We must know what faith is not. Faith is not denial. It does not deny the existence of a problem. Faith is not a legalistic formula. God responds to faith, not to formulas. He's our guide. He's not providing us a recipe. Faith is not an issue of ordering God around. Faith does not negate the sovereignty of God. Neither is faith a panic button to push only in times of trouble. It's a lifestyle of leaning on the Lord and trusting in Him. Faith is not a magic wand. Faith doesn't instantaneously settle every problem or question. Faith in God does not insulate you from encountering life's problems, but it does ensure that you're going to come out of every situation as a victor and not the victim. Faith doesn't deny the circumstances, nor does it deny the facts. But armed with the greater truth of God's word, the believer who has faith can overcome any circumstances because he believes that God's word will never fail. So let's drill down on this, to walk in faith. It means that we will go places that we've never seen. We're looking for places. Like Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. He did that in Genesis, and it wasn't seen till Revelation. Trust is never having to ask for directions. It's not being afraid to admit, "I don't know, but I know God, and I know He's trustworthy, and He's going to watch out for me." It's faith in the not. We give when we don't have it. That's the widow of Zarephath. Elijah told her, "Give me first to eat and drink," and she did, and the meal barrel never ran dry. Or it's Abel in Hebrews 11 who offered a more excellent sacrifice, motivated by his faith. Our giving is linked to our faith. "Test me," God says. "Bring your full tithes into the storehouse. Prove me," says the Lord of hosts, "if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and rain down an overflowing blessing." Malachi 3:10. Release your faith. Don't let your faith rest on what you do have. Let it be put into operation by what you do not have. How do we grow in faith? We grow when we do not feel like it. Simon Peter is a perfect example. A stranger called out from the shore, "Have you caught any fish?" And Simon Peter must have been frustrated. You hear it in his voice. He said, "We've fished all night and we've caught nothing." And the stranger shouts, "Cast your net on the other side of the boat." Something about the authority in that voice stirred the chief apostle. I know that voice. I know that voice. When I said, "Bid to me to walk on water," I heard that voice come. Such authority in that voice. "I don't feel like casting my nets. I'm weary. I fished all night. But I don't obey my feelings. I obey that voice. We glorify God when we have not received. For example, Israel at Jericho, before the walls fell down, they praised. Faith says, I don't see any evidence of walls crumbling, but I'm going to thank him in advance for a fallen wall. I'm going to say, Lord, I've not yet seen my promise, but by faith, I'm going to praise you for it anyhow. I'm going to glorify God before I receive what he has for me. I believe God is working his plan. My praise says this, God, I have not received, but I'm praising you as if I have. Here's another example of faith. We grasp when we do not see. An example of this is Joshua. It's one of the most staggering moments in the Bible. God says to Joshua, Moses is dead. It was as if Israel and Joshua couldn't grasp that. The one we've seen all these years leading us, the one out front, he's gone. Then God speaks to Joshua, Moses is dead, now therefore arise and go across Jordan. I've got some place I want you to see, but you can't see it if you don't walk away from your past, if you don't step into your future. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. With God, all things are possible to them who believe. Faith's requirement is to believe what we do not see. Faith's reward is to see what we have believed. Belief does not say when I understand it, when I have it, when I've got it in my hand, when I see it, then I will act. Faith says that when I see the absence of these things, when I sense the absence of provision, the absence of health, the absence of peace of mind, absence becomes the evidence that God is ready to move. Nature abhors a vacuum, but God loves the moment we realize that what we need is not within our hands and is not within our sight, because that's when we have faith in the one who can show himself strong. I don't have to see him to trust him. I don't have to have the answer to believe it's on its way and to open my mouth and claim the answer. Faith says I can act before I see. When you and I look at a situation and say, that's not possible, God says, that's all I need. I just need someone to face up to the immensity of the task before them. One night, a house caught fire and a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, jump, I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump to save his life, but all the boy could see was flames and smoke and blackness. As you can imagine, he was terrified. His father kept yelling, son, jump, I will catch you. But the boy protested, but daddy, I can't see you. The dad replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. I don't know what's going on in your world, in your life, what you've been asked to endure, or even why you've been asked to endure it, what the reason or rationale behind it all. But could it be that it's happened to increase your faith and to give you strength beyond what you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, and to draw you into a world that you find hope in these troubled times and in this affliction, that your faith grows so strong that it unlocks the future? I believe it's happening. I believe it will happen for you.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.